Think about the last time you were stuck in the back of a regional jet. Maybe a Bombardier CRJ-50 seats, the kind of short hop that covers 200 miles and takes 45 minutes. Somewhere over the mountains, you pull out your phone, you see that little airline Wi-Fi icon, and you already know. You know it is going to cost you $12 for something barely faster than dial-up. Maybe you try it anyway. You pay the $12, you watch the spinning wheel, you watch it spin some more, you get one email out before the connection drops. You stare out the window and wonder what you paid for. That experience is ending faster than most people expected. I'm Tower, you're listening to ATIS on Radio Hangar, and today the story is Alaska Airlines, Starlink, and what happens when a carrier actually finishes ahead of schedule on a technology rollout. Before we get into it, today's segment is brought to you by AviationSold.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. All right, Alaska Airlines. Here's what happened. Alaska Airlines and their regional partners have completed the Starlink Wi-Fi rollout across the entire regional fleet. Every regional aircraft flying under the Alaska banner now has Starlink on board. And it is not just installed, it is free. No subscription, no credit card, no day pass. You board the aircraft, you open the Wi-Fi menu, and you are online. The airline says they are ahead of their own projected connectivity schedule. In an industry where technology programs are famous for running late and over budget, and there is a long history of that in commercial aviation, finishing early is worth stopping to acknowledge. But to understand why this matters beyond the press release, you have to understand the technology itself and where aviation connectivity has been. Let's go back a few years. Aviation Wi-Fi has been promised since the early 2000s. The original GoGo system, which longtime road warriors will remember, was an air-to-ground network. The aircraft had an antenna pointed down, connecting to cellular towers on the ground below. That worked reasonably well over the continental United States. It did not work over water. It did not work in Alaska or Hawaii or Canada. Range and terrain were hard limits. Then the industry moved towards satellite connectivity. The promise was global coverage. The reality was a service built on geostationary satellites parked 22,000 miles above the equator. The signal your device sends travels 22,000 miles up to that satellite, back down to a ground station, back up again, and down to you. Every single request makes that full round trip. The physics of that distance creates somewhere between 500 and 600 milliseconds of latency on a good day. That is not a connection that feels like the internet. That is a connection that feels like sending a letter and waiting for a reply. You could download something if you were patient. You could not make a video call. You could not reliably use anything that required a real-time exchange of data. And the bandwidth was shared across all passengers, which meant that on a full aircraft, even the downloads got painful. Starlink changes the physics of the problem. Starlink is SpaceX's low Earth orbit satellite constellation. As of mid-2026, there are more than 6,000 Starlink satellites in orbit, and SpaceX has authorization and plans to put tens of thousands more up over coming years. The constellation is dense and growing. The key word is low Earth orbit. Starlink satellites orbit at roughly 340 miles above Earth, compared to 22,000 miles for geostationary systems. The round-trip signal time drops from 500 milliseconds to under 40 milliseconds. For comparison, a good wired home internet connection runs in the 20 to 50 millisecond range. Starlink at cruise altitude is competitive with broadband on the ground. That is the structural shift. And it is not just latency. The bandwidth available per aircraft is sufficient for multiple passengers streaming video simultaneously. Not throttled, not degraded, actually streaming. That is a different product from what aviation Wi-Fi has historically delivered. Now, why does the regional fleet completion specifically matter? Because regional flying is where most passengers start and end their journeys in the Alaska network. Consider how Alaska operates. Their hubs anchor Seattle, Portland, Anchorage, San Francisco, Los Angeles. But many of the routes feeding into those hubs, especially shorter routes across the Pacific Northwest and into Alaska itself, are flown by regional carriers. Horizon Air, which Alaska wholly owns, operates a fleet of Embraer E175 jets, SkyWest Airlines operating under the Alaska brand on a contractual basis, flies Bombardier CRJ-900s on certain routes. Those are not glamorous aircraft. They are workhorses. 50 to 70 seats covering routes that might be 250 miles, and historically, those aircraft were the last to receive technology upgrades. Mainline gets the new seats. Mainline gets the refreshed cabin interiors. Mainline gets the new in-flight entertainment screens. The regional fleet gets the hand-me-downs. Years later, if it gets anything at all, regional passengers, who often represent the first or last segment of a longer trip, have traditionally had the worst onboard experience by almost every measure. Alaska inverted that. They pushed Starlink to the regional fleet, completed it ahead of schedule, and are now pivoting to the larger mainline aircraft. Whether that was a strategic choice to demonstrate capability at smaller scale before tackling the mainline, or whether it simply worked out that way in terms of installation logistics, the result is the same. Regional passengers got the upgrade first. That is not how it usually works. Let's talk about the pricing decision, because it is central to the story. Free. Not free for elite status members. Not free on routes over 3 hours. Free for every passenger on every equipped aircraft. Alaska absorbed the cost of connectivity into their operating expenses and made it a benefit of choosing their airline rather than a revenue line. That is a calculated bet. The logic is not complicated. A passenger who has a genuinely good experience on Alaska and free, fast Wi-Fi is a concrete daily differentiator, is more likely to choose Alaska the next time they have a route option. Loyalty is built on accumulated experiences, and the Wi-Fi moment is one that passengers actually notice. You do not offer free Wi-Fi across an entire fleet if the economics are marginal. You do it because the loyalty return justifies the cost. Alaska is signaling confidence in that math by pricing at zero. Now, the competitive landscape. The aviation connectivity market has been a quiet war for years. Viasat, which operates geostationary satellites specifically engineered for aviation, has been a major provider for domestic carriers. Inmarsat and Viasat actually merged, bringing significant capacity together under one roof. Gogo, which most travelers remember from the laptop card era, has pivoted toward business aviation while developing next-generation technology. Panasonic Avionics handles connectivity for a large share of the international commercial fleet. Starlink entered aviation, seriously only a couple of years ago, and carriers that moved early have watched passenger satisfaction respond. Not because passengers are doing technical analysis of latency curves, because the Wi-Fi works. That sounds like a low bar. But for years, aviation Wi-Fi was unreliable enough that experienced travelers stopped trying. They downloaded their content before boarding. They accepted being unreachable for the flight duration. They planned around the limitation. When the Wi-Fi actually works, that behavioral pattern reverses. Passengers reconnect. They work. They stream, they call, and they remember which airline gave them. That, Delta has been expanding their Wi-Fi access, including free connectivity for SkyMiles members on select equipment. United is mid-program on their own connectivity upgrade. Southwest has offered free messaging on their Gogo-equipped fleet for some time. But none of those programs combine Starlink's speed and reliability with a zero-cost access model across a completed fleet rollout. The pressure on competitors is real, and it compounds over time. A quick note for those of you who fly left seat rather than sitting in the back. Passenger Wi-Fi on commercial aircraft is a cabin system. The antenna mounts to the fuselage exterior. There is a router serving the cabin. The Starlink terminal communicates with the constellation. What it does not do is touch the cockpit, the avionics, the flight management computers, the communication radios, the data links. Those systems operate on separate isolated architectures with no connection to the passenger network. When we talk about Starlink Wi-Fi on an Alaska regional jet, we are talking about passengers streaming video at cruise altitude, not anything that intersects with how the aircraft is flown or navigated. That said, there are parallel conversations in the industry about whether low-latency satellite connectivity could eventually improve the efficiency of aviation data links, ACARS. The aircraft, communications addressing and reporting system, is the backbone of operational messaging between aircraft and airline dispatch. It was designed in an era of severe bandwidth constraints, and it shows the question of whether next-generation connectivity could expand what is possible through operational data links is being explored. Those conversations are early and separate from what Alaska announced, but the point is that Starlink's footprint in aviation is likely to expand beyond passenger entertainment over time. SpaceX has done the regulatory work to enable that expansion. The Starlink Aviation Terminal has been certified by the Federal Aviation Administration and by the European Union Aviation Safety Agency. Certifying any hardware that goes on a certificated aircraft is not a routine exercise. It covers structural integrity, vibration tolerance, thermal performance, electromagnetic compatibility, and fail-safe behavior. Those certifications mean Starlink terminals can be installed across the commercial and business aviation fleet without regulatory friction. Business aviation has been moving on this aggressively. Operators of large cabin business jets, the kind of aircraft where executives need to run actual video conferences at cruise altitude, have found Starlink's latency profile genuinely transformative. JSX, the semi-private carrier that operates out of FBOs and offers a middle ground between commercial and private flying, has Starlink on their fleet. The market is broad and expanding, which brings us to where Alaska goes next. The mainline transition is the next phase. Alaska's mainline fleet centers on the Boeing 737 platform. They operate 737-800s, 737-9s, and the newer 737-9 MAX. It is a focused, standardized fleet, one of the practical benefits of the fleet consolidation strategy Alaska has pursued for years. Fewer aircraft types means simpler maintenance programs, and relevant here, simpler modification programs. You are not managing 15 different interior configurations across 5 aircraft types. Even with that advantage, equipping several hundred mainline aircraft with Starlink hardware takes time. Each installation pulls an aircraft from revenue service. The antenna goes on the fuselage, which means exterior access, weather windows, and a return to service sign-off before that aircraft goes back to carrying passengers. Multiply that across a full mainline fleet, and you're looking at a program that runs for at least a couple of years, even with efficient execution. Alaska has not committed to a specific completion date for the mainline program. What they have demonstrated is that they can execute a fleet-wide rollout ahead of schedule at the regional level. That track record matters when carriers are making fleet planning decisions, and it matters to passengers evaluating whether to believe the promises. Here is the bigger picture. Aviation connectivity has been a story of overpromised and underdelivered for 3 decades. The technology was always almost good enough, and the pricing was almost never right. Starlink changes the technical foundation of that problem. The constellation is dense enough that coverage is consistent at altitude. The orbital physics mean latency is genuinely useful for real-time applications. The bandwidth per aircraft is sufficient for a full cabin. Alaska Airlines recognized that connectivity was shifting from an amenity to a differentiator. Their bet was to go early, go free, and go regional first. Completing that regional phase ahead of schedule is both a practical achievement and a marketing position. They delivered what they said they would before they said they would. 4. Passengers on Alaska routes, the Wi-Fi question is getting simple. Works on Alaska, free on Alaska. That is a short sentence that matters in a competitive market. For the rest of the industry, Alaska has set a benchmark that is going to be difficult to ignore. My source for today's segment is Simple Flying. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Stay connected out there.